Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On WNYC, and now the story of five men who are trying to abolish nuclear weapons. And these are not just any five men. They are eminent cold warriors who were central to building up the nuclear kingdom they now seek to dismantle. They are Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, William Perry, Sam Nunn, you know these names, right? And physicist Sidney Drell. Longtime New York Times national security reporter Philip Taubman has written a new book called The Partnership, Five Cold Warriors and Their Quest to Ban the Bomb. Philip, welcome back to WNYC. Thank you for coming on for this. Phil, can you hear me? All right, we're having a little trouble getting Philip up. Phil, now I think we got you. Can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Now, this is not a group of peaceniks protesting nuclear weapons, of course, but they are proposing to abolish part of the military-industrial complex built up around the nuclear industry, taking up the mantle of the lefty peaceniks in a way. Is that what Henry Kissinger and his colleagues are doing?
Well, in a way, yes. They're, as you say, they're hardly peaceniks or anti-nuclear crusaders of the old kind. These are men who are steeped in the Cold War. But I think after 9/11, particularly, they came to the view that the legacy of the Cold War in terms of all the nuclear materials and weapons that are still out there posed a grave threat to the United States and other nations. And the great danger is that the next time terrorists strike, they might strike with a nuclear weapon. So these men are trying to do everything they can to reduce that danger.
So people know Henry Kissinger. George Shultz was a former Republican Secretary of State. William Perry, a former Democratic Defense Secretary. Sam Nunn, the one-time Democratic Chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. These were huge names in politics in their day, and they, along with physicist Sidney Drell, launched this campaign in 2004. And you're right that it would be like if in 2007, forgive me, and you're right that this would be like if Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady call to get rid of the forward pass in football. Huh. So how did this unlikely partnership come together?
It came together in effect of necessity because they all looked at the world after 9/11 and concluded that the danger of a nuclear strike in a city in the United States was too great. And so what you've got here is a very improbable but powerful bipartisan alliance, just the kind of thing that's missing so conspicuously in Washington these days. They didn't all get to this position in a kind of rush. They each took a circuitous route to it. There were doubts until the very end, and I think Henry Kissinger still has some doubts today. But they all decided to set aside their ideological and political differences to join hands in an effort to try to get the world's attention to this acute danger that we face.
Of course, you had the wrong Manning in that analogy.
I was going to say we have to put Eli Manning in there now.
Really, Peyton, really? I mean, come on. And you say that this group had a big influence on President Obama's approach to this issue. Now, we're going to play a clip of the president's 2009 speech in Prague about nuclear disarmament, and he said this about the threat.
In a strange turn of history, the threat of global nuclear war has gone down, but the risk of a nuclear attack has gone up. More nations have acquired these weapons. Testing has continued. Black market trade and nuclear secrets and nuclear materials abound. The technology to build a bomb has spread.
It's a great line. In a strange turn of history, the threat of global nuclear war has gone down, but the risk of a nuclear attack has gone up. And that's exactly, Philip, why I think there's so much pressure to stop Iran from getting the bomb. It's not so much that people think Iran would use it against another country since it would be, assured self-destruction. The world would come get the regime, no doubt. But it heightens the risk, considering the relationships that the Iranian government has, of terrorists getting it, right?
Yeah, no, that's really what's so scary. It's not just Iran. It's Pakistan. It's North Korea. Here are countries that would, not hesitate potentially to at least make fissile material available to a terror group. And it's much simpler to make a nuclear weapon, I think, than most people realize. The kind of weapon that we dropped on Hiroshima was not even tested prior to the day we dropped it, because the design of the bomb was basically so straightforward. All you need, I'm sorry to say, is about 60 pounds of highly enriched uranium. You slam 30 pounds on one side and 30 pounds on the other side together. It comes in a metallic form when you're putting it into a bomb. It's a gun-type assembly, it's called. It's very straightforward, and you get a nuclear explosion. So North Korea, we know, has fissile material. Pakistan has tons of it, and Iran is on its way to getting it. They're refining uranium, and it won't take long for them to get from where they are now to bomb-grade material if they choose to do so.
Here's another clip from that same 2009 speech, and this is the president's take on solutions.
The basic bargain is sound. Countries with nuclear weapons will move towards disarmament. Countries without nuclear weapons will not acquire them. And all countries can access peaceful nuclear energy. To strengthen the treaty, we should embrace several principles. We need more resources and authority to strengthen international inspections. We need real and immediate consequences for countries caught breaking the rules or trying to leave the treaty without cause. And we should build a new framework for civil nuclear cooperation, including an international fuel bank, so that countries can access peaceful power without increasing the risk of proliferation.
So let's take that last thing, the fuel bank. And my guest is Philip Taubman, former New York Times reporter and editor, author of a new book called The Partnership, Five Cold Warriors and Their Quest to Ban the Bomb. The partnership proposes greater control over the uranium enrichment process to nations needing uranium for nuclear power plants. And I guess the idea is that the international body would sell Iran, for example, uranium for use in their nuclear plants. We would be calling their bluff, their claim that they only want nuclear development for power purposes.
Exactly. If you set up an international fuel bank, and by the way, there is now money available to do so, partly because of the effort of the five men that I've written about, and Warren Buffett chipped in $50 million on the condition that others contribute. So there is money to do that now. The idea behind an international fuel bank would be that uranium would be enriched to the level that's necessary to produce electric power at a nuclear power plant, but not to the level that it could be used to make a bomb. While enrichment is done by a country like Iran, there really is no limit on what they can do. Yes, there are international limits, but countries are free to ignore them if they choose.
And you write about the dynamics of the group, that George Shultz is the undeclared leader of the group. People will remember him as Ronald Reagan's Secretary of State, correct?
Correct.
While Kissinger is the least enthusiastic member of this partnership. Kissinger, in fact, you say, had misgivings about the entire enterprise. Why, and how has that played out?
Well, you know, it's played out in an interesting way. Kissinger, when asked publicly about the initiative and the goal of eliminating nuclear weapons, stands four square behind them. But in private, I talked to quite a number of his friends, and in fact, Bill Perry, who's one of the men I wrote about, who was Bill Clinton's Secretary of Defense. Bill Perry told me that Henry Kissinger had told him that he doubted that the goal was really practical or viable. But Kissinger brings a lot of star power to the group. He brings a lot of international connections. And I think they're willing to have him as a member because of that. Through his connections, they've been holding a series of what they call Track 2 negotiations, in effect, with Russian and Chinese officials, These negotiations can be kind of handed off to the Obama administration if they ever reach a stage where they're going to be fruitful. So Kissinger, I think, is actually an important member of the group, but he is, as you say, the least enthusiastic about the goal.
These are not young men, by the way. Sam Nunn is the baby of the group at age 72. Do you think they're motivated by limited time to rectify something about their past that they may be uncomfortable with regarding nuclear weapons?
I do. I asked him all of that question. The only one who answered in an affirmative way was Bill Perry, who said he feels a responsibility having to help create these weapons and the aircraft and missiles that would deliver them, that he feels an obligation to future generations to eliminate them. Sam Nunn, on the other hand, rejects that idea and says correctly that through his career, he did a lot to try to reduce nuclear dangers. But I feel there is a degree of penance in this, that there's a sense that they helped to create this monster and they want to try to do something now in their twilight years to eliminate it.
And just one last thing. We talk about Iran, we talk about Pakistan, countries like that. What about the United States? The Republican presidential hopefuls are running in part and making sure we build up our nuclear arsenal and maintain our nuclear arsenal, the opposite of what President Obama wants, or at least more aggressively than President Obama wants. And if there's a homegrown terrorist threat in this country, presumably our own nuclear weapons are a risk as well. So are they trying to stop the United States from having its nuclear weapons?
Well, their view is that we would eliminate ours if other countries eliminated theirs. They don't favor unilateral disarmament. But speaking of the American arsenal, it was not that long ago, just a few years ago, a B-52 flew from Montana or Wyoming down to Louisiana with six nuclear-armed cruise missiles strapped under its wings. The men who loaded the weapons on the plane, the crew that flew it, the crew in Louisiana that received the plane when it landed, none of them knew there were nuclear-tipped cruise missiles on that plane. They thought they were conventional warheads. So even in the United States, where the security of our nuclear arsenal is quite high, we lost track of nuclear weapons for almost 24 hours. So when you factor that in, you realize that if that's possible in the United States, what is possible in Pakistan?
Former longtime New York Times reporter and editor Philip Taubman has written a book called The Partnership, Five Cold Warriors and Their Quest to Ban the Bomb. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the Clint Eastwood Super Bowl ad that has launched a national conversation about who we are. Stay with us.